Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 48. Shri Krishna, yes.
From
okay, not about 48.
This is 48.
You know what I mean? 8 being double of 4, but then you put it together, you get 12. So 4 and 8, you know, there are one thing, but when you get 12, then that you add that up, you have two different ones. So you have 1, 2, 4, and 8, but when you add that together, you get 3.
The Lord of Greece.
Yes, okay. So not you're not about the number, okay.
It's not about the number, but about Govardhan.
Okay.
And how we worship Govardhan, because we have two views at Govardhan. One is the Supreme Lord, and one is the best of the devotees.
But how? Why is that two views? Why is not one view?
That's
Lord
people presented.
Yes, but is Lord Chaitanya the Supreme Lord? Is he the Supreme Lord or not?
Yes.
Is he the devotee?
Yes.
So what's the problem? So that's why we worship Govardhan.
As a Supreme Lord.
He's both. See, Achinta Beta Beta Tattva can accommodate these two at once, seeming contradictory things. Is Baladev the Supreme Personality of Godhead? But is he also known as the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead?
Yes.
So, but he's one person. So is it two different approaches? It's one person. So the point is Giriraj is Krishna, but he's Krishna serving Krishna. See, the difference is that is Baladev going to be there where Krishna has intimate pastimes with Radharani? And is Baladev not expanded as the Dham? The Nanga Manjari is his... Yeah, right? So now if you want to have really, really close pastimes, then it needs to be kind of not so Baladev-ish. Right? So that means then Krishna's Govardhan himself. So it's Krishna who's Govardhan, but he's in the mood of serving his pastimes on Govardhan. So why it has to be one or the other? And then especially when they get into the peacock feather, that's where it really gets stupid, because the cows wear peacock feathers. This one wears that. So someone says, oh, he's a servant, he doesn't wear a peacock feather. He's Krishna. But he's in the mood of serving himself in his pastimes with Radha and Krishna. So the thing is the two go together. There's not a contradiction between the two. So it's not two different ways of worship. You know, in other words, this you can put into the category of discussion along with the fall of the jiva. This one, the fall of the jiva, peacock feathers, you know, all these things that just basically waste your time and distract you from reality. So it's not an important discussion because it's both. He can be both. It's not that, oh, one disturbs the other. Because the thing is Krishna is sitting there worshiping himself as Govardhan. And he's pointing out that he's come and all everything like this. So Krishna's even worshiping him. So what's the problem? And Krishna's sitting there as himself up there. So up there when he's sitting on the Govardhan saying Aniyor, he doesn't have a peacock feather? He doesn't have a flute, doesn't wear, his yellow dress, he doesn't, you know what I'm saying? It's just two different aspects of Krishna.
And
Does that make sense? So there's no contradiction to them both. But we're worshiping because Lord Chaitanya said he's the son of Maharaj Nanda. That's how we see him. So now we can worship according to how Lord Chaitanya gave, and therefore how it comes down in the parampara, like that. Or we can switch paramparas and, you know, head out to the Govardhan Babaji's and come up with a new philosophy. Yes. In other words, it's something you keep to yourself. You never bring it up. Yes.
In this regard, that the people for the elite worship Gurmita, is it proper to offer to them?
Why wouldn't it be? He's Krishna. You know what I'm saying? And then if you say, oh, it disturbs his mood, but the point is since when ever does the girl wearing a piece of clothing of the boy make her think that she's become the boy and then forgets that she's the girl and therefore completely ruins the whole mood? Knock me out. Give me one example anywhere in any culture. It is a very, very distracted understanding. But this point is being made to those who are distracted and don't understand what they're talking about in the first place. So that's the thing, is things that don't need to be focused on, like the peacock feather, for us become the make it or break it. I mean, literally. Staying within ISKCON or leaving ISKCON comes down to sometimes these points. Because it's just like they have nothing better to do. Right? You know, we have enough japa to chant and enough service to do and stuff like that, you know. So we're supposed to be chanting minimum 16 rounds and doing another 48 rounds worth of service. Like that. And that's an okay amount. You know, 3 lakhs is standard. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's the whole idea. Is that 24/7 we should be engaged. Now, those who don't understand this and we get involved in this, then they come up with things that aren't really proper in their mentality, and then they get answers back that is trying to correct the mentality, but at the same time, then it becomes the whole thing about, it's all about this external of the peacock feather. Because as we see, everybody wears peacock feathers. They go out. That when they decorate the cows, they put on peacock feathers. Right? They wear kumkum, you know. They put kumkum on the cows, you know. Bulls get also. But kumkum's only for the gopis and this and that. And how can we put on the bulls and that? Then they'll think that, you know, it's just like, get a life, you know. You know what I'm saying? So the whole point is the acharyas give us this a mood. That's what's going on here, is that yes, foreign without getting the thing that we're going on. I think, is the verses of the Veda are all correct, and they're giving the factual positions of everything. Now, how you want to use that defines your philosophy. So that's called hermeneutics or mimamsa. So that means you have a verse. What will you do with that verse? What do you want to establish with that verse? Does that make sense? So, how do you say? That creates the philosophy. So we see here Krishna's using karma mimamsa and shankhya to establish, to break down demigod worship. But it's not that the demigod worship isn't something that is mentioned in the Vedas, but the actual purpose is to bring you to worship of the Supreme Lord. So Krishna, by using these philosophies, you know, that break that down, then at the same time as what is he doing? He's establishing worship of the Lord. Does that make sense? Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah. Because the point is that if you want to have some fun, look up, you know, pictures of Radha Govinda in Jaipur. Radha Govinda, Radha Gopinath, Radha Madan Mohan, and just flick through lots of pictures and then check how many of those pictures, what percentage of those pictures Radharani's wearing a peacock feather. Right? You understand? So the point is she likes to wear it because Krishna wears it. Does that make sense? Girls hate to wear anything that the boy wears, right? That's how it goes. Like, when it's cold and he offers her the jacket, forget it, I'm not wearing your coat. You know, I don't want to become you because then it'd be you with you, and that's gross, you know? So, right? Isn't that how it works? That girls are very, very particular about that.
At a certain age.
Huh?
They have a certain age.
Yeah, well, we're not talking about the, you know, mature and married life and stuff like that. We're talking about the, you know, the youthful like that. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Because the thing is, the married woman knows where it's been, while the unmarried, they don't. Right? So that's the difference. That's where I'm not touching that. You know, it's like you have the gardeners use them, and that they pick up leaves with them, the long sticks, so they don't have to bend over. You know, you go around the house picking up the stalks. You know. They could probably make money selling as household items as opposed to just out there.
IKEA.
Yeah, yeah, you know. You know, you just mentioned for, you know, dirty clothes picker-upper or something, you know, like that. You know. So therefore, it's like we shouldn't be so focused on these points that the acharyas don't make a point about. Because it said, you know, Haridasa Varya, he's the, you know, best servant. Like that. But the point is that it's still it's Krishna in that mood of servant. It's not that he's not Krishna anymore. So we're saying he's the best servant, so therefore he's not Krishna anymore. Yes, he's not thinking in Aishvarya, but he's still Krishna. Does Braja Krishna think in Aishvarya terms? No, but he's still Krishna. But now it's Krishna's expanded to make arrangements for, wonderful arrangements for his pastimes with the gopis and the cowherd boys and all that. So, because Krishna doesn't like to serve the devotees, right? At the Ashokavan, who arranged the prasad? Krishna. Who served the prasad? And then afterwards, then who ate? Krishna. So, therefore, by being Govardhan Hill and serving all the Brajvasis, Krishna's quite happy. But at the same time, it's Krishna who's serving the Brajvasis. It's not that when Krishna then served the cowherd boys and all that for lunch, then he took off his peacock feather and all those kind of things. You know? You understand? So they're non-different. We're adding in, oh, he's the Supreme Person. No, he's Krishna, who happens to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And Krishna sometimes, you know, brings that point up. I'm like this, but I don't want them to think like that, so therefore he deals in a particular way. So it doesn't matter if you want to emphasize more his service, you want to emphasize more as Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Because you can't have the same thing as he's Haridasa Varya and then have him there with Radharani. Right? It's another bang your head on the wall. Because then if he's with Radharani, it means it's Krishna, not Govardhan. But because they're non-different, he can be either on his own or you can put him with Radharani. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that it's not a problem. If you want to emphasize more how he's serving and that Bhaktivatsala aspect and that, great. But it doesn't mean it's a different kind of worship. Is that what I'm saying? It's not a different worship. It's just you're emphasizing this, like somebody emphasizes the Madan Mohan aspect, someone else the Gopinath, someone else the Govinda. Does that mean now it's a whole different worship? Does that make sense? So that they're bringing that out and not emphasizing he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's fine. That's okay. But it has to be seen as that he's still Krishna. And so they're non-different. That's why there's a problem on taking them outside. Because, does that make sense? You know, it's like, technically, whatever the Govardhan Shila you take, it's not an actual equivalent, but it just gives you an idea that however it is you take, then technically you're supposed to put that much gold back there. So you take a, you know, big monster, you're supposed to put a big monster chunk of gold. Then it gives you, it makes you serious. And also then, according, if we want to get into those traditions, there's Hari Dasavarya, he doesn't this, that. Then according to those people, he never leaves Braj anyway. So you shouldn't be having him around the world and worshipping him. If, you know what I'm saying? You can't quote the Babaji's and then not follow what they say. Does that make sense? Did we go beyond the...
Yes.
Okay. In other words, we're working in realms that don't even know what we're talking about here. Okay, cool.
Good. There's another one regarding the dress.
The dress?
Of the deities.
Of
like Gorni Thai?
Gorni Thai.
Should they be dressed in the same color, different? Otherwise, they're like twins?
Yeah. And dhotis look like dopey diapers and all these other mundane concepts. What's the wrong with them? What's wrong? They look good in anything. Just because we look stupid in what we wear doesn't mean that they don't look good in whatever they wear. So do we want to get everything perfect and all that? Then the turban, like the smaller the deities, have you ever noticed the smaller the deities, the bigger the turban you can put or the bigger the crown? Madhavi doesn't so much now, but back in the 70s, 80s, he would wear a crown that was literally a third the size of his body. That's including the base. He would wear these huge, huge crowns, and he'd look really good. You know what I'm saying? So we have to understand this. He can handle it. It's just like the devotees one day probably came in, I think Radha Govinda in New York, you know, small Radha Govinda. And so he came in and they saw the little dinky plate, and little dinky puris, and little dinky everything like that. And Prabhu said, "What is this?" You know, he says, "No, but they're small, they know this and that, you know, so they can eat and all that kind of stuff." And Prabhu said, "No, you just eat, you know, a regular plate, because the standard ideal plate is a 3-foot plate, 3-foot diameter. That's a standard Pancharatri good plate. If you don't have that, then you can go with 24 inches, 2 feet. If you don't have that, you can go with 18 inches. They don't go smaller than that. You know what I'm saying? So that's just, they go with that. So you have these little dinky deities and this big monster plate, because that's just the way it works. Because Krishna can eat it. It's not that, you know, you can't eat it because it's too small. So we have to understand is that whatever looks nice, they can be different, they can be the same. If you want to bring out that aspect and dress them differently, then the thought that goes into that, and that's nice, but not that it's superior. Superior is devotion. So if you think, because we dress separately, that's superior, that's Vaidhi. How is that ever superior? And since when does the Pancharatra ever mention it? Like that. So it's very common that they match, you know, like that. Sri Rangam, he wears his outfit. Lakshmi's, they're wearing matching outfits. So now are they twins? You know? You know what I'm saying? So why do we have to... The problem is we think about things in areas that are not necessary to think about. And areas we should think about, then we tend to not think about because we just chant Hare Krishna and we don't care for the rules. But something like this, oh, we could argue for lifetimes about. But we say, okay, but what about, you know, what about the Achman cup and this? Oh, that's ritualistic. How does this make sense? You know what I'm saying? You can dress them however you know, according to whatever colors you like. You can dress them according to the colors of the days of the week by the planets. It's just something to create some niceness and variety. So if you dress them the same, nice. If you don't, what's wrong with skirts? You never seen Krishna in the skirts? What it means, always the different things. It's the typical, you know, Braj paintings of Krishna in these skirts. Like that. You know, are they wearing skirts without something on their legs? No, they're always wearing something on their legs. Now, if you have a skirt without something on your legs, now you can say, that's a skirt. Right? You know. And if you say, oh, but, you know, men don't wear, try saying that to the, you know, in front of a Scotsman. Go ahead. See what happens. You know, you won't even get out the second ha before you're, you know, unconscious. So, that's the whole point, is that why we don't need to put our value systems on it. When Prabhupada was here, we dressed them the same and all that. And if Prabhupada was here and it was fine, why is it now it's not fine? Because that's the whole point. Prabhupada doesn't know what he's talking about. It's not nice. Do we not dress, you know, Radha and Krishna and the gopis and all matching stuff? Are we going to... Everything has to be completely different. One's in a sari, one's in a salwar, you know, one's in a bikini, you know, one's, you know, like this. Is that what we have to do now? All different colors and that? Well, you know, because it's not important. They like to do things together. They're brothers. Why? Would brothers have a problem wearing the same thing? Right? Yeah, so that's the whole thing. Sometimes it's fun. Only if they don't identify together, then they don't want to wear what their brother's wearing, because that would be disastrous. But if they identify, what's the problem? You know? So it's one of those, if you take the effort to try to make something that's different, but it matches, it doesn't clash, and it's as different as possible or like that, that just means more thought goes into it. So it's a nice thing. But to say is because you're doing that, that's devotional, and make them the same, that's not, and they look like twins, and they're in dresses and all. That's for materialistic people to say. That's not for devotees, don't say that stuff. It's mundane, purely. But it's, you know, we try to bring out these things, and, you know, he does this, and they do that, and... But then if you want to do that, then Krishna's always in you know, yellow garments, and Balaram's always in blue. Are they doing that? No. They're changing them and doing this and wearing jari everywhere. So, you know. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. Pancharatra, you offer what's nice. You do nice things. So it's not dependent upon our mundane concepts. You know, it's not like, what do you call it? I don't remember what they're called. The name of the guy, the ink blots. You know, they show you the thing, and then what comes to your mind?
Rochere
inkblot. Yeah. You know, all the psychologists use them. You know, so it's not like that. You know, show this, and then, you know, diapers, twins, you know, how you say, effeminate. You know, this is not the point of it. It's supposed to be you look at them, and you see that they're happy because of the devotion that the devotees put into dressing them nicely. You know, getting good quality material, dressing them nicely, trying to make attractive outfits, trying to make it attractive for the devotees so when they take darshan, because sometimes you see people, they dress them so beautifully, and that if you're as close as the pujari is when he dresses them, they look fabulous. But if you step back even off the altar, you can't see any of it, and it looks very ordinary, because they put everything into that little detail on that part of his arm that you can't even see. He can see it, but no one else can. So that's one of the differences between those who, when you take darshan and they're fabulous, and those when you take darshan and it's not. It's not that those who take darshan and it's not, that they haven't dressed nicely. They've only dressed for what they see, not for what others see. Like, I remember once with Omkar, I was saying, well, why don't you do this? And he says, because from a distance, you won't get the effect. Because up close, many times, what he was doing didn't look that as attractive. But you step back, and it was amazing. Mm-hmm. So since Krishna's, pleasing the devotees, then if you can only do one or the other, better to do that. The darshan looks nice, and up close it's not as nice. But at the same time, you try to keep it that you remember he is a person, so it's not that he only has clothes in the front and the back's completely naked. Prabhupada didn't like that one either. He wanted the dress to go all the way around. Radharani's skirt should go all the way. It's not that when you go around the back, then you see the hoop skirt, and you see everything and this and that, and it doesn't quite match because, you know, you save that, you saved 500 rupees and, you know, stuff like that. You know, it should go all the way. It's a skirt. You know, like that. Is that good? Okay.
Yes. Krishna Balaram in summer season.
Krishna Balaram in summer season.
So the pujaris, they dress him, you know, the shorts, the tight shorts, you know, the short. But sometimes, you know, the pujaris.
So you think they should be baggy shorts like Nike makes or something? Mm.
So some pujaris also dress Gaur Nitai in the same mood. So is it okay?
As long as they look nice, what does it matter? Because the point is each deity has their way of dressing. Like how you dress Radhe Shyam in Vrindavan, you can't dress any other deity in this exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
How you dress Radha Madhava here, you can't dress other deities. How you dress small Radha Madhava, you can't dress other deities. Because
mm-hmm.
their unique mood is there. And so then what they like, you know, because also I remember Omkar saying that, is that I'd ask, well, how are you dressing? He said, he picks the outfit, he has a concept, but when he goes to apply it, then he sees what works.
Mm-hmm.
What looks nice. Sometimes you put something on, it just falls off.
Mm-hmm.
You put it on properly, it falls off.
Mm-hmm.
Other times you put it on the same way, it'll stay on all day.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean?
Yeah,
try some other way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go in there with your turban and this and that, and it doesn't work. And other times you just go up there and just do like that, and it's done.
Yeah.
Right? So then it's a matter of seeing how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So if shorts work on Gorni Thai, then don't worry about it. And if it doesn't work on them, then change it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Because the brahmacharis, they had a, you know, argument that why should you dress like this? Mm-hmm. So that was amongst the brahmacharis. So.
Another example of Naikaj Koi Baj. Naikaj Koi Baj? Naikaj. No work. Naikaj. Koi means that double puffed rice. You know, it's absolutely nothing's there. You call it, you know, it's koi. You know, 1 kilo is like you can fill up a couple of buckets. You know, it's that thing. You know, that thing there is like a kilo of koi. You know? Koi Baj. Make, you because it's cooked in the sand. You put in the rice with the husk on it. So it's like popcorn, like corn, you pop it. So this is popped. It's popped rice, while then muri is puffed rice. So it's just same rice and it puffs a little bit, but popped it actually pops like popcorn. So it's big and it doesn't weigh anything, right? And so it's nothing. There's no substance there. I give you a handful of that, you eat it. It's like, you know, I could have just given you some air, you know, like that. That's. Does that make sense? So there's a saying in Bengali: "Naikaj to koibaj," means you have no work, then you puff, make, you know, popped rice. You know what I'm saying? So it's one of those things. Is they can argue over because yeah, they wear dhotis and this and that, but you know. The thing is, but if it works, then they can do it. If it's summer, then what do you want?
Yeah.
So are they going for really light, super light, fine dhotis and stuff like that? And so are they going to go to the trouble to starch them so they stand out and do all that kind of stuff? Or no, they're just going to argue over that, and they're probably not going to do puja either. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, I think it's a South Indian saying that the sadhu who's leaving the ashram should not be giving advice on what flowers to plant. Right? Yeah. So in the same way, if they're not pujaris, why discuss it? If they're pujaris and they're setting the standards, yes. But if it's just the regular ones, they can go on and on forever about, you know, what Radharani should wear, and oh, that's not this, and this is that. And, you know, so that's the problem. We take darshan and be happy. Does that make sense?
Yes.
In other words, know who's supposed to discuss what and what's the purpose of it. Then it has some validity. So everything we've discussed, it has a validity, but you have to know where it balances in with everything else. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So Maharaj, like in China, some devotees, they decorate daily with a, like, Chinese style clothes, like long robes.
But are they nice Chinese style clothes?
Yes, it's made of silk.
So, they always do that, or sometimes do that, or?
They always do that. In some places.
It's not a problem. And the interesting part, when you look at the deities, do they look Chinese?
Quite Chinese.
They do that. Like in Mexico, if you look at the deities in Mexico City, they look Mexican. They're made in Jaipur. They didn't change it. It's just that by being there and that, they relate so that they think, you know, so
eating
they
the food.
Huh?
eating Mexican food.
Too many tacos. It looks Mexican. Like that. It's all the refried beans, right? Yeah, yeah. I wouldn't worry about it. That's what they have, and that looks nice to Krishna, because they may not know or know how to do the other things, but they can do this nice. So as long as they're offering the best, what would be considered the most nice and beautiful of Chinese, you know, you're talking about ancient dress, right? You're not talking about Burberry or something, right? Yeah. Okay, so the ancient dress, then nice. You know, just don't put on one of those wispy, long, you know, don't do that. You know? And and don't have Krishna there with one of those butterfly swords or something. You know, Radharani's there with a, you know, how you say, a pair of nunchucks. Don't do that stuff. You know, so how they would dress, how they would picture the gods and goddesses, it can be okay. But it means if they could do the traditional, that's nice. But if they don't know, point is offer the best. Okay. But if, you know, someone comes up and there is a standard of dressing in these, then I would do according to, you know, how they do in Vrindavan here in Mayapur. You know, wherever you see the deities are attractive. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. But if we're in Papua New Guinea, we do not dress Radha and Krishna like the monkeys. That we don't. You know, covered in mud and, you know, stuff like that. We don't.
Only skirts.
Huh?
Only skirts.
Yeah, yeah.
There was a lot of discussion about the Santa Claus outfit.
The Santa Claus outfit. I would tend to not dress Krishna as Santa Claus. You know, you want to put a few gnomes around? Okay. I would tend to not dress in the same. But, you know, if it works, what to do with that. You know, that's the fun part. We'll dress as Santa Claus, but we won't dress as, you know, whether we have a problem with it. Skirts, right?
Probably it's not the same place.
Probably not the same place for the same people.
There's a Swami Narayan temple in London. They dressed the deities in, like, football outfit because it's a Euro Cup in football. Soccer balls and shorts.
That's okay, but which uniform?
Different uniforms, you know, all inclusive. Yes.
But which one was Krishna wearing?
I do not
know. Was he wearing Manchester United or?
Probably. I want to say Brazil. I'm not sure.
Oh, I see. Oh, it was World Cup.
Yeah, it was like international.
Okay. Yeah, stuff like that I wouldn't do so much.
Maharaj, what about the Valentine
outfit?
With all the hearts on it.
Yeah, but who's the Valentine?
Krishna.
Hmm? Cupid. So, did he not have his bow and arrow?
No.
As Pushpa Banaya, he doesn't have his bow and arrow? And the point is you put the hearts so that we know that that's what it's about. If you don't put the hearts, we wouldn't know what it's about. You know, you go, this is not Battle of Kurukshetra. You know, stuff like that. You put the hearts and then, oh, yeah. Okay. You just have to see that it works.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned the golden worship with the 16 items or 5 items. Is it sort of, it's supposed to be, the form of worship is supposed to be formal?
No, the point is it doesn't have to be, because even in Vrindavan, the devotees worship Krishna with the 16 items. We may see if it comes across here in the Bhagavatam, but other literatures of the Acharyas, then they mention about how they're worshiping with the 16 items. So the 16 items are standards, just whether it's in sweetness or in opulence. So that's going to be on your mood. So your realization.
And the form of worship, how the sadhakas worship the deity, it will stay like...
It'll stay the same. He says, we're worshipping according to Pancharatra, so you're going to use that formula. It's not going to change. Sanatana Goswami and that, they were on the platform of Rag, right? And they're all eternal associates of the Lord. And so they're the ones that introduced the Pancharatric system. Otherwise, would we know what is Pancharatra? you know? I mean, we may talk about five nights, you know? You know, what were your best five nights? And, oh, yeah. You know, it's like, so, you know, that's not, we wouldn't know what Pancharatra is. We wouldn't know what an Achman cup was. We wouldn't know what a lamp, we wouldn't know anything unless it was introduced to us by Prabhupada, given by the Acharyas. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that it has its form, that's how it's done. You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, let us say you're going to sweep the floor. Okay? You have a broom. Now, let's say you are a Vaidhi Sadaka. How are you going to sweep the floor? Okay? Okay, now opposed to that, now let's say you have a Raganuga Sadaka. How is he going to sweep the floor? It's going to have that flair to it and a few spins and pirouettes and like that, you know. Yeah, but will the sweeping change? No, there's a mechanics to sweeping. It's not going to change. So the 16 items don't change. But the flavor in which you're dealing, the particular kind of paraffin, that may have more or less. But it's just standard stuff. Because for Krishna, it's the mood. We're taking it, no, the whole mood is by the externals. No, the mood is by the mood. Now, if the externals help the mood, then nice. But it's, so that's why we will adjust things to make it seem more Braj or this or that. But it just inspires us in the mood. So that's why then that's its advantage. But it's not that generates Braja Bhakti. Right? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing. It's only because one knows about it, then it may have some effect.
When it comes to Govardhan worship, I've encountered even some very sober and serious devotees. When it comes to Govardhan, the things they do and they say is very, it's kind of very straight. It doesn't fit into anything.
Yeah, but it's just because this is what happens when you take a system that has a very, you know, set formula, give it to people who do not accept authority, and then on top of that you make something that is considered something very, very special and unique, and these individuals make it more common. They like to do it. When the first Shaligram in the movement was brought, it came to Calcutta. I'm not sure who brought it, but it came to Calcutta, the Calcutta temple. And Prabhupada talked about it, worship of the 16 items, who Shaligram is, Vishnu, you know, and how strict the worship is, because it's actually more strict. We make it into it's just a common, anybody can do it. But Prabhupada introduced it as more strict. And, you know, the idea is that he's so small, you can't offer all the items, so you must. Right? He's big, monstrous, then he gets a wad of garland and that's about it. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. So nobody would touch the Shila. No pujaris would deal with the Shila. Because everyone was afraid. And then it had to go out to Mayapur that no one wants to touch. Because they understand what level, you know, of seriousness it was. So then it was brought out to Janani Vas Prabhu, and then he worships, and he goes through all the 16 items, everything's there, so everything's done in its proper formal way, but the mood is just so sweet and nice. You watch him doing Shaligram Puja, very, very attractive, while others, and it's all, you know, formal and this and that, and, you know, you can get a rock and cover it with a, you know, how you say, you know, iron, lock it up, put a few chains, you know, then you're talking about, you know, now we're talking, right? You understand? So the point is that it's the mood in which you do it. It's not, the externals stay the same. Does that make sense? So this thing where we just do whatever we like, however we like, because it's Govardhan, the point is if you're on the platform of prema, yes. But if you're not on the platform of prema, you follow the rules. That's just the way it is. Oh, no, but Raganuga. Raganuga sadhana means you follow the rules. The only difference is the mood. And Bob sadhana is all about the mood. Right? You do everything perfectly, you don't get in the rasa dance. You have the right mood, you get in the rasa dance. It's all about the mood.
Yeah.
So at some point we have to catch this mood, and the formalities stay formalities. You know what I'm saying? Let's say someone's cooking lunch in, you know, from the Rogmarg platform. Does that mean they don't have to put the pot on the fire or turn on the fire or put in ghee or heat the ghee to a particular temperature, or they can put any amount of spice, you know, do they feel like it, you know, just the spice is so nice, it's all, you know, they throw in handfuls and they're cooking for two people because it's all bhav. Does it work? No, you still have to, whether you're a Vaidhi sadhaka or a Rag sadhaka, you still have to put the exact same amount of jira, the same amount of chili, same amount of ghee. You have to cook it in the same way, the same temperatures. It doesn't change. That's the thing. The form doesn't change. We think, because we're external, we think, I was, you know, Malecha Yavana, eating whatever I could get my hands on, dressing whatever I could get my hands on, and hanging out with whatever I could get my hands on. And so, you know, it was all just about what was like this. And so, therefore, now I became a devotee. I don't do any of that. So, therefore, devotional service is all about the external. Right? Does that make sense? So, but the point is, no, it's about devotion to Krishna. And so, if by adjusting these, it helps that, that's what we do. So, the acharyas recommend. The shastras recommend. Right? So, in other words, someone following a Vedic lifestyle doesn't have to change their lifestyle to take up devotional service. But someone following a non-Vedic lifestyle might find some great advantage to making some adjustments. You know, like using water after they go to the toilet. You know, little changes. You know, does that make sense? You know, so yeah. So that's the thing, is we think it's so much because we're so external that is devotional service. And then we present that, and then that's called hard preaching. But that's not exactly preaching. Preaching is preaching the primary. But then avoiding the secondary and talking about the primary and then giving a different secondary and insisting on that, that's no different. You know, it's two sides of the same coin. Wet stool, dry stool. Does that make sense? So in other words, there's rules. You have to follow them. That's why Prabhupada wanted the padati put together. You know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's padati for the householders included all the 16 items and all the major things, but you can do it very quickly. It's very simple, but you can still do it. And it includes everything. So it has reduced down to what is the essentials. And then if you do a fuller, like Shaligram, then you expand all those central points and give more detail. So all you're doing is expanding detail. The principle is 16 items. That's the principle. Then the detail is then how much you do in that. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? You know, a bath. You take, he sits there, you pour some water. You know, that's the bath. You want to do with milk, then water, or do a panchagavya or panchamrita, and then with water. Then that's just a detail. Does that make sense? But the point is, he has a bath. Does that make sense?
What is that five items which we offer after 16 upacharas to the Shiva or to Giriraj?
No, it's not. They're of the 16 items.
Yeah, okay. Which one?
Let's see. Nice clothes, nice ornaments, nice scents, nice flowers, and nice food. In other words, those are the ones that Krishna likes the most. It doesn't mean the other ones aren't there, but those are the ones that he likes the most. So, when you're worshiping Krishna, these five you should see they're doing nicely. And since Krishna comes as Vishnu, then still he likes them.
First, we offer everything to the Shiva and then to Giriraj. It's like ready, one by one. First, you offer 16 upacharas to the Shiva.
No, you're worshiping the Shaligram by the 16 upacharas, offering all whatever is offered to him. However you're offering it. Then when you worship Giriraj, you only need to basically, you know, wipe them off or bathe them and then offer those five items. It's not that the ones offered to Shaligram is worship to him. No, that's not there. It just means you may do like that. But if it's only Giriraj, then he would get the full 16 items. So you can focus on those five.
devotees have a confusion.
Devotees have a confusion.
That Shaligram and Giriraj worship should not be done by women. So,
Shaligram and
Giriraj worship.
Giriraj worship should not be done by women. Well, Shastra does say Shaligram shouldn't be done by women unless they're liberated. He's literally liberated. If they're Uttamadikaris, then they can do it. But otherwise, they don't. Because the point is the formality and the cleanliness. How many times a week does a woman take a full bath? I mean, full.
Once in a week.
Once in a week, or traditionally twice.
Yeah.
So, and since deity worship's about cleanliness, and Shaligram is therefore about the highest standards of deity worship, then the cleanliness is there. Therefore, the standard of cleanliness of the women won't be the same as that of the men. So that's why men worship that. Plus, you need to do all the technical points for the Shaligram. And the ladies just like to draw a face. That's the whole point about him, is drawing a face. You know, putting flowers and decorating like this. So then why do you need Shaligram for that? Why not? You're going to put, it's going to take the same amount of time. Why not just have a small deity of Krishna? You know what I'm saying? So the point is the technicalities is what can be done for Shaligram. So why would you take a deity that he has come in that form to accept the technicalities and not do the technicalities?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, that's the whole point. So therefore they don't do. Like that. And generally the same standards are there with Giriraj, but you have to be, you know, you can make an adjustment. So it's not typical that they would. But, you know, they are, so they are.
And Shaligram and Dwarka Shira are the same, one and the same.
Dwarka,
they equate, you know, devotees equate these.
Equate a Shaligram and a Dwarka Shila as the same. Well, here, let's give a definition. Shaligram is a piece of the body of Lord Vishnu, so it's directly non-different than Lord Vishnu. That means there is no installation for a Shaligram Shila. You just start the worship. A Dwarka Shila is something that's from Dwarka, that's Tadiya, that is known as paraphernalia of the Lord. So now you give the conclusion here. So in other words, they're not the same. One's Tadiya and one is the Lord. Now in Tadiya you can remember the Lord, just like you have Lord Chaitanya's shoes, so you can remember Lord Chaitanya. Like that. So therefore the Dwarka Shila, then, you know, like this. But it's not that they're the same. But if you're worshipping like that, then okay, you can worship. But you have to be very careful in this. You had something?
Tadiya.
Tadiya means it's what's related to the Lord. You know, like the garlands, you know, the prasad, the shoes, the umbrella. This is all Tadiya. Padasevana means you're worshipping Tadiya. The Dham, the devotees, Tulsi. Like that.
Regarding the women in Shalayan Shila, also it's the same with women and yagya sacrifices?
The same. Like that. Because it's just, it's not the thing. Because point is now, let's say, okay, you're going to be doing the yagya. And what are you offering to the yagya?
Ghee.
Okay. And so then it's about, and, you know, wood, fire, ghee. And who are you trying to please in this yagya?
Krishna.
Krishna, okay. So that means then you put the proper amount of wood, proper amount of ghee. You know, the more clear the fire is burning, the better. You know, you're offering the ghee into the fire itself, into the flames. Like that. Does that make sense? Okay. So, now, problem comes down. Since you're dealing with fire, is it hot? Okay. Yes. Now, if you're cooking in the kitchen, it's also hot, but you're cooking for family. Or the deities, like this. So you're doing the yagya, then generally it's seen as just a ritual and something where everybody notices. Okay, so then is the fire going to be big enough? You have ghee everywhere. Now, if you're going to have a festival where you want to do that, to do the yagya, then does the lady not want to dress up? right? And then when she dresses up, is she, because whatever you wear for the yajna is ruined, so is she willing to ruin her 8,000 rupee sari? Right? So therefore, it'll be small fire, little dinky thing, you know, everything little cute and all things like that. But where is the satisfaction of the fire? That it's about the fire. They make it about them. Are they going to do the two yajnas a day every day when no one's around and no one's seeing? No, they don't want to do that. They want to do the festival one. You know what I'm saying? So is it about the yajna? Because those who are yajnic brahmins do yajna every day. But here it's only because there. It's just like, how many people want to do all the artiks and want to do that all day or be a full-time pachari? No, but if it's a big festival like Radhastami, everybody wants to do the artik. Oh, why is it only this one gets to do it? Why not, why not everybody on the other days? Does that make sense? So since Shastra mentions it, why would we want to go against it? Does that make sense? Because otherwise, if we can go against that by modern considerations of equality, what is the modern consideration of boys and girls? Is there much restriction? No. Girl doesn't get pregnant, we're cool. Right? So, therefore, why are we so strict on brahmachari sannyasis on their dealing with women? Why aren't we, just in the same way as we break all the rules, it's all this, why can't the brahmacharis hang out with the girls? You know? Because if we go by, oh, but she wants to do it, it's all about the boy wants to hang out with the girls. He really does, sincerely. So are we not going to consider that? Why are we restricting? You know what I'm saying? So we pick and choose what we want. It's not consistent. Because it's only grihasthas can break all the rules. Brahmacharis and sannyasis, they can't break anything. They can't even sneeze. It's a problem. It's like satyayuga for the brahmacharis and sannyasis, and Kalki time at the end of Kali Yuga for the grihasthas. How you say it? It says, at the end of Kali Yuga, then there. We don't say that they're small. We say they're piously challenged. Right? So. does that make sense? See, you understand? So, but it's from our own value system that we're coming up with this. This is not, if Shastra says they don't do, they don't do. How many things does it say they don't do? Don't worship Shaligram, don't worship the fire. Don't take Purvijakacharya sannyas. Like that. Does that make sense? Probably didn't want him to be GBC. So it's few things. That's it. Everything else you can do. But no, it has to be on that. Focused on that. Has to be, a crusade about that. And then when you get it, then? Remember the whole big fight women can give the class? Okay, now they can give the class. Now is it a whole thing that everybody's going to the class, all the women want to give class, everyone wants to go hear them give the class? No, you don't hear anything about it, because it can do it. I think, who mentions this? The acharya is mentioned, but I can't remember where on that. But the main thing, one of the most important things for women is the rarity of something. So if something's rare, it's more valuable. Right? What I mean? If it's local, it's nice, but if it's from somewhere else, then it's more valuable. Does that make sense? So therefore, something that is hard to get, something that's hard to obtain, is of value. But once you have it, who cares? You know what I'm saying? Girls are dressing up like anything, trying to catch the boys. You can see them in the temple. Like that. But once they catch the boys, are they dressed up? No. So that's the thing. So it's just a thing. It's not about actual devotional service. It's just about feminine need to just get something you can't. Because as soon as you say you can't have it, you have to have it. It's just the feminine nature. You know what I'm saying? So it's not actually devotional service. You might have individuals who could do it nicely in devotional service, But it is a movement, it is not devotional service. It's not about devotional service. Because it's not about Krishna. Because who gave the scriptures? Krishna. So that's Krishna's breathing. That's how he likes it. Like here in Braj, right? The transcendental realm. Are the wives of the Brahmins doing the yajna? No, they're assisting in the yajna. Who does it? The men are doing it. That's how Krishna likes it. Nanda Baba is giving the charity. Mother Jashoda is helping in the background or taking care of the ladies. You know what I'm saying? You go to Dwarka, and then who's out there in the front of the ladies right there when Krishna first walks in and doing things and this and that? You do have ladies there, but they're called society girls. So it's just how Krishna likes it. And if we don't like it like that, then hey, we can stay in the material world forever if we want. But the point is, at some point it has to come down to it's Krishna's pleasure, not ours. Because I want to do this. Because you see, they do the yajna, it's the littlest, dinkiest little thing, and they're all dressed up, and they can't move, and they can't do anything. And someone else has to set it up, someone has to put the wood, someone has... They just sit there and you know, they're the center of attention. That's all. Does that make sense? But it's not about that. It's about the fire. So you do things that are good for the fire. You move close to the fire, you make the fire, you get burnt, you get holes in your clothes. The fire spits. You get holes in your clothes. Guaranteed. You do a yajna, you have holes in your clothes. It's just the way it is. That's why after the yajna, you give the Brahmin new clothes. You give him a set of clothes to do the yajna, and you give him a set of... Oh, no, I gave him the clothes, but he ruined it doing your yajna. So you're supposed to give him one to do the yajna so he doesn't have to ruin his own, and you give him a new one. Only then, if you give two, then he has a set of clothes. So it's just the way it goes. You know, you have to deal with the paraphernalia, you have to set up, you have to do everything. So who just comes in and just does the yajna? What priest is like that? No one, right? You want to say someone who doesn't get involved in this and that, that's the Brahma, but they sit on the side. They don't even touch the fire. They just see that everybody else is doing everything properly. You know what I'm saying? So you want the position of the Brahma, you know, and not do anything, but you want to, but that no one notices that, so you have to be sitting in front of the yajna. So is it real? You know what I'm saying? So that's also you have to see. Is it consistent? The guy's worshipping the Shaligram Shila, he's young, you come back, he's old, he's still got the same Shila, still doing the same worship. Nothing's changed. The lady who makes the big thing about doing the Shaligram worship, come back in 5 years, is she still doing the worship or not? If she is, good. If she's not, it was just a trip. You know, same with the yajna. You understand? Because it's a matter of, it's something, it's a system of worship that's done every day. It's nitya. Then you do these things. You know, it's not a matter of everything's equal, because if you can't tell the difference between what's a man and a woman, you got a problem. You know? Or you're going to be very much appreciated by the LBGTs. You understand? Does that make sense? Yeah. So the whole point is Shastra says don't do that, so don't do that. And then things that says to do, no, we're not doing that. Cook and clean, no, we're not doing that. So what it is, doing the things that women do is seems as socially a less status. Doing the things the men do is a higher status. So is it about bhakti or is it about status? It's 100% about status. It's not about bhakti because you can do anything for bhakti. You know? Because then when it comes to cooking, then the men are cooking. They're chefs. They can handle the big feast, the big this and that. The ladies come in, cook for the deities, but do they cook on the big feast? You got to cook for 500 people. Are the ladies cooking? Maybe, maybe not. But big, isn't that doing? So in other words, if it's a prestige issue, then they want to be there. If they're making these points, making it into issues, it's prestige. If it's devotion, they'd just be doing it and not talking about it. But they want to do a yajna. They have a house. Do a yajna every day at their house. Who's going to complain? Like that. No, they have to do the public one where everyone will see. And they have to be the big guy that everyone set up and that, then they come and sit down with their nice sari. Does that make sense? And when you get into the Vedic stuff, you have to have the right arm uncovered, the right arm and neck. I'm saying, like you have there. So, are the women going to do that? Men will like that one. Yeah, so they're not going to complain. So if you present that this is how they have to dress, and it has to be unsewn cloth. So if they'll wear unsewn cloth with the right arm uncovered and all that, hey, everybody's going to like it.
Win-win.
Yeah, win-win. But are they going to do that? You got to lean forward a lot when you put things into the fire and stuff, and all the pujas, you're half bending over this and this and that, so... Yeah, so that's why women don't do this stuff. Yeah, okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai.